First Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now I'm going to say some things this morning, I hope, that will perk your ears up and maybe cause you to realize that we are indeed living in the very, very last days. How many of you really believe that? Say amen. How many of you believe that the Lord is returning? Say amen. Amen. You believe that Jesus is coming back again. You see, Christianity and the Jewish religion and even the Muslim religion believe in a coming, a returning Savior. The Jews are looking for the Messiah. They reject the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. They said the day that he was crucified that we have no king but Caesar. And so they have rejected the Lord Jesus as the true Messiah. Their eyes have not been opened yet, but it will be in the tribulation period. But then the Muslim religion, they are looking for their returning Savior, so to speak, and they call him the Mahdi, and which is the 12th Imam. And they believe that the more violence that they can ensue, the quicker he will return and institute a kingdom of his own. But you and I, as Bible-believing people, if you believe this book, you will believe that Jesus Christ is returning, and I believe that his coming is much, much closer now than it ever has been in the past. And I'm going to share some things with you this morning, and some of the things I'll share with you, I am not being political in sharing these. I want you to listen with an open mind, but I believe this, that the stage is now set, and the things are in place that we could see the coming of Christ at most any time. I mean, I believe that he could come before the morning sun rises. Say amen. Amen. His coming is imminent. That means there is nothing that has to happen before the Lord Jesus steps back on the scene. Now, begin reading with me, please. And I hope everybody has a Bible. If you don't have one, get next to somebody that does, and just look as we read this. This verse in that I'm going to share with you out of chapter 5 in just a minute kind of jumped off the page at me just the other day. I want you to share it with me. Now notice, you know these passages probably by heart. Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now he refers to the death of a Christian as being asleep, not soul sleep as some religions teach. When you die, if you're saved, you'll be in the presence of God immediately. There is no soul sleep where you lay in the grave and wait for the resurrection. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now for the person that dies without Christ, the Bible said in Luke chapter 16, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. So either you're headed to heaven or either you're headed to hell. And so here in 1 Thessalonians, somebody had come into the church at Thessalonica and they had disrupted the people by saying the rapture of the church had taken place and you missed it. You're left behind. By the way, that's the title, if I can give it a title today, Left Behind. I know Miss Tina sitting out here today has read the entire volumes of those novels by Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye on Left Behind. And she could tell you probably everything in those, and we have copies in the library. But it is a known fact that when the Lord Jesus returns, there will be multitudes and multitudes of people left behind. You agree with me? Say amen. Amen. It's not the church member that gets you to heaven. It's not water baptism that gets you to heaven. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I would have you this morning examine yourself. No, without a doubt, when you leave this building this morning, that you can say, if the eastern skies were to part and if Jesus stepped out today, I'd hear the voice, I'd hear the trump of God, I'd go out to meet him. Now watch this. Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning which are asleep, even that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. The word prevent is the word precede. We shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, the dead's going to be raised first. The living's going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're out of here. Before your heart could beat, before you could grab a breath of air, before you could say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, we're out of here. We're gone. Just that quick, in the twinkling of an eye. Scientists have measured that as 1/1000th of a second. When light hits the eye and is reflected off of it, 1/1000th of a second, we're out of here. We're gone. He says that we're out of here. Now watch this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And most of the time, we stop reading right there, but this is a letter, and I want you to just continue reading, but. Now, when you see that word but, you that is a conjunction. That means what has been said prior to and what's going to be said afterwards, we're going to hook them together. Now watch this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. There was a Christian movie produced many years ago called A Thief in the Night. The Bible says he's coming as a thief. How many of you have ever had your home broke into? Raise your hand. You've had your home broke into. How many of you have your car broke into? Okay. How many of you have ever had anything stolen from you? Raise your hand. Now, if you've ever had anything stolen, Brother Steve, I'll pick on you this morning. Did that thief come to you and say, by the way, Steve, I'm going to come by at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, and I'm going to rob you. Did they announce their coming? No. They came unexpectedly. They came unannounced. They came when you didn't think they were coming. The Bible said, in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now read on for a second. Now here's, boy, I got so much to say in a short time to say it, so I'll cut right to the chase. But when they shall say, watch in verse 3, but when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Those of you that are mothers in here, you can relate to this. When those contractions come, you might have a little pre-warning to that, but all of a sudden, bam, you know, all of a sudden you're in labor, and it may be for an hour or two or three or several hours, but it comes quickly. Paul said that the coming of Christ be like a thief, unannounced. It'll come quickly as a woman that is giving birth to a baby. As the birth pains come, it comes on you fast. Now watch it. And they shall not escape, but ye brethren. Now here's what I want you to see. Verse 4, mark it in your Bible. I want you to go home and read this. I want you to dwell on this. I want you to chew it up and swallow it. And I want you to think on this. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You see, he just said that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief comes, unannounced, suddenly, without warning. But he said, you're not the children of darkness. If you're saved, you're children of the light. He goes on to say this. Now, folk, I don't know about you, but I, in my spirit, I feel, and I know I'm not setting a date, but I feel that the coming of Christ is right at the door. Do you feel that? I don't go by. Don't walk out of here and say, that preacher, he's all about feeling. No, what I'm saying is this. I believe that with the stage that is set, with the things that are in place, with the world events that are happening, with the pieces of the puzzle that are coming together, honey, I want to tell you something. You'd better get ready, because one of these days, it won't be long, Jesus is coming back. Might be the last message I ever preach. Maybe the last church service you ever sat in. Maybe the last opportunity you ever have to get saved. Now watch this. We're still reading. He said, but ye are the children of light, verse 5, and the children of day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. He said, now we don't know exactly when he's coming, but he said, we're the children of light. And if we're the children of light, we have spiritual perception. You see some things that the lost man does not see. You understand some things that the lost man doesn't understand. They're just foolishness unto him. But as a Christian, you can see that the things that are beginning to happen, you can see the things that are escalating, you can see the world events, you can see what's happening in our country, you can see that the coming of Christ is at the door. Amen. In a little bit of time I've got, I'm just going to share with you, and I'll have to pick this up and go with it another time. But here's some things I want you to keep in mind as we get into this message. And I won't keep you long today, honest. But I could preach on this 2 or 3 hours. But here's some things I want you to... Here is just a little something to think on, chew on. Preacher, what could you tell me is going to... the events that's going to transpire in the not-so-distant future? First of all, I believe the church is going to be raptured. Now, you don't find the word rapture, but you find the teaching. The word rapture is a Greek word, a parousia. And it means a catching away. As Paul described here, as Paul described in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said that, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the living shall be changed. He's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus being raptured out. I never thought in my lifetime, preachers that I used to listen to, hang around with, fellowship with, some, no longer believe, no longer teach, no longer agree with what we call the pre-tribulation, the premillennial reign of Jesus Christ. I am still under the firm belief that the Lord is coming back for His church. Amen. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I believe this, that the church of the Lord Jesus, it don't mean it's a Baptist, it don't mean it's a Methodist, it don't mean it's a Presbyterian thing, but if you've been washed in the precious blood of Jesus, you are part of the bride of Christ, and He's coming for His bride. Bridegroom's coming. The church is going to be raptured. Second of all, here's something else keep your eyes focused on. The Jewish temple will be rebuilt. If you have internet access and sometime you want to sit down and do some very interesting reading, you can go on Temple Mount Faithful. There's many websites, but one of those, the Temple Mount Faithful, Gershon Salomon is an Orthodox Jew. He is leading the movement to rebuild the Temple of Jerusalem. By the way, you go on there and you can see. I have talked to people that have been in Israel. Two of my best friends have gone to Israel last year, and they will tell me, Brother Tom Robinson, Brother Gary Wood, they will tell me the structure is right there. The stones are there. The cornerstone is there. The materials are there. They've got the breastplate for the priest. They've got everything in place, ready to go just as soon as the Lord comes. You see, the temple's going to be rebuilt. The Bible said that even in troubled times, it shall be rebuilt. Now, keep your eye on that. Everything's ready. They can have that up and running. You see, the Old Testament sacrifices be reinstituted in the tribulation time. Second of all, third of all. Ezekiel 38:39. You ought to write these verses down. You ought to read them sometime. Russia, Iran, Libya, Ethiopia will attack Israel. You say, how you know that? Because the Bible says so. It names them by name. I'm not making it up. Read Ezekiel 38:39. What's happening in our world today? I stopped Thursday evening with Eric and Laura up here at the little restaurant up here at the Mona Lisa, the lady that runs it. We've been just trying to get to know her. She's from Damascus, Syria. I said, Angela, how is your family? She said, oh, it's terrible, terrible. She said, my mother has 34 people staying in her house. They have bombed her brother's house. Her brother, they couldn't get in touch with him one day, and they called and called and called some, and they had bombed and blowed his house to smithereens. She told me one day her nephew, I believe it was, her cousin, had gotten married, and on his way back from the market, a sniper shot and killed him, 20-some years of age. She told me the other day another nephew had been kidnapped, and they held him for ransom, and they could not pay the ransom, and they decapitated him in Damascus, Syria. What am I saying? And she said this. She said this. She said, right now, the UN is deploying missiles on the Turkey border of Syria, and they're aiming them towards Syria, and Turkey is aiming the missiles. And she said, we're headed for World War III. She's not a Christian. She's a Muslim. Brother Richard, I hadn't heard the news, but he said that he heard that there was a missile launch, or Israel launched a missile. Here's the thing, friend. It's coming. There's a battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38:39. Number four, Antichrist steps on the scene. I believe this. How many of you believe that the Lord could come today? Say amen. Amen. If you really believe that, then you must believe that Antichrist is already here. We don't know who he is. He hadn't been revealed yet. Paul says that he will not be revealed until after we're gone. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. He said, don't you get upset. Don't you be troubled. He said, that man of sin, the son of perdition, will not be revealed until the church of the Jesus Christ is gone out of here. Thank God for that. But we can see the things that are laying the groundwork right now. And that brings me to this. And I've got about 5-6 things, but I'm going to touch on this and just to whet your appetite. Would you turn with me, please, into the book of Revelation for just a minute, and you can see how much I got, and I just have to forego that for right now. But I want you to see something, and I want to maybe shake your mind up just a bit. Revelation chapter 13. Turn over there just a minute, and then I want to tell you something that I believe is worth repeating. Now, in Revelation 13, This is Satan, Superman. In Revelation 13, I'll not read the whole chapter to you, but here it says, John said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and the sand of the sea is a multitude of people. The sand of the sea is like all the nations of the world that John is describing. And he said, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. John saw this beast rise up out of the sea. The sea is troubled humanity. It's the world. We're living in a very troubled world, aren't we, folks? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this thing out. Our economy is headed for a collapse. I mean, son, I'll be honest with you. I'm serious. You better get prepared. We're headed, regardless who sits in the White House, regardless who sits in the governor's mansion, we're headed for an economic collapse. We owe so much money now, we will never get ourselves out of debt. We're headed for a collapse in our country. Now watch this. And so he goes on to describe this person, and chapter 13 verse 2 is parallel to Daniel chapter 7 verse 6. He describes this person here. And verse number 3, here's what happens. In verse number 3, notice how the Bible describes, "And I saw one of his heads, and he said it, and it was wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now here's the thing in a nutshell. Antichrist will step on the scene. He will calm the world down. There'll be a peace treaty signed with Israel. There'll be the nation, the world will be at peace. Antichrist will come in prosperity. He will come speaking many lies and many wonders and many signs. He will be assassinated, according to that verse right there. People will see that he is dead. I believe the CNN and I believe the MSNBC, I believe all the newscasters will rush in. And they'll see this man assassinated. But then, just miraculously, he will rise to life. And they will say, "There's not but one man that's ever done that before. And they killed him on a cross. This man must be Jesus." And he'll say, "Yeah, I am." He'll go into the temple of God. He'll sit on the throne. He will require the world to fall down and worship. The world will willingly do so because they will say, "This is God. He's come back. He's sitting on the throne." And they will worship. Literally, it will be Satan in the flesh. Once Antichrist, he was a man, but now when he rises up, he will be the devil incarnate as Jesus was God incarnate. So will Satan, Superman, be Satan incarnate. Now here's what I want you to see. Then the Bible goes on to say that he will require the world, and you've heard this said many times, and I'm getting to my point and I'll be done. He will require the world to receive a mark either in their forehead or either in their right hand. How many of you have heard of the mark of the beast before? Amen? I'm sure most people have. Most people have. But you know, a lot of people said for a long time, "Oh, that's just ludicrous. That's crazy. Who would want a tattoo in their head of 666? Who would want a tattoo on the back of their hand of 666? Wait a minute. The Bible said that his number is 666. But he didn't say that it was a visible tattoo, did he? And the Bible says that no man will be able to buy, sell, or trade without that mark of the beast. Y'all believe that? Say amen. And that leads me to my last thing that I'll leave you with today. Some months ago, Congress enacted what we are now calling Obamacare. It is actually the Health Reform Act, 3200. And some of you may, I shared this with a couple folks and they ran with this and they called me up and they were like, "Hey, boy, what I'm about to tell you is not fictitious. It's not made up. It's not to scare you, but it's to make you sit up and think, I believe the Lord is at the door." Many folk today say, "Oh, man, won't that be great to be able to have that health care and won't have to worry about doctor visits, won't have to worry about hospital stays, and boy, isn't that going to be great?" In that health HR 3200, and if you care to do the research, I'll tell you on page 1001. This is what is already written in that health care bill. It was suspended until the election. Here's what it says: Congress will require all citizens who depend on health care, they must be identified by implanting a chip under the skin. There will be a national registry of identification that will take place under this new health care law that has been passed and has been approved and is now waiting for implementation. On page 1006, I read to you. The Minister of Health and Human Services will develop and begin implementation of the register under Section 519 of the Federal Drug Administration. And he goes on a lot of other jargon, but it says this: once that was passed, 36 months from the day that it was passed, it would become effective and have all American citizens to be having an identification through what they're calling an RFID device, which is a radio frequency. It's about the size of a piece of rice that'll be placed under the skin. So that when you some of you work in healthcare profession. Imagine with me, somebody comes in and they said, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been to Duke Hospital, I've been to Moses Cone Hospital, I've been to Alamance Regional Hospital, and many times that you go in there and they say, hold the history, and you say, boy, wouldn't it be great? They could have all that so you wouldn't have to go through well, guess what? It's coming. But not only just your medical history, but your financial history, right there. And here's what it is said, and here's what and you say 36 months from the date it was passed, when Congress passed that, to the implementation of that, when they're going to implement that into our society. The date, March the 23rd, 2013. I had someone to call me recently and said, "Preacher, does that mean that we're going to be raptured before then?" I said, "I can't say that. I'm not setting a date for that. But wouldn't it be something, my friend, if we're living on the very, very verge of the coming of Christ?" Now you say, "Preacher, do you believe that that is the mark of the beast?" I don't know. I believe it could become the mark of the beast. One thing's for sure, Christians are going to be out of here when that time comes. Say amen. Why am I telling you this? Because I believe this. What we better do it soon. Because one of these days, we've said, the Lord Jesus is going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ is going to be raised. The living is going to be changed. And it could be that it may be quicker than you ever think. Are you sure you'd hear the shout? Would you be left behind? Would you pull up in the church driveway and all of a sudden you say, "Well, where's everybody at?" You come in, there's no hymns to be sung. There's no music to be played. Half the people are gone. You drive down the street, babies are missing. Oh yes, babies gone, out of the crib. Where do they go to? Go down to the funeral home. All of a sudden, bodies are gone. What happened? Where are they gone? Go out to the graveyard. Millions missing. Trains derailing, planes crashing. Why? Unexplained phenomena. They cannot explain what's going on. And they'll say, "Oh, either aliens have abducted them or they're off hiding somewhere." But you know and I know that the Lord Jesus is coming back, and one day it will be the day when the trump of God sounds, the dead will be raised, the living will be changed, and the church is out of here. If you've got loved ones, you better get them in. Noah preached 120 years. I believe every time he drove a nail in the side of that ark, he said, "You better get on board. You better get on board. You're crazy. You're a crazy old man. You better get on board. It's going to rain." Rain? We ain't never seen rain. What are you talking about, you old man? You're foolish. It's going to rain. There's going to water come down from the heaven. You see it, and it never rained before Noah got into the ark. But then Noah, God said, "Come on in." God shut the door, and then the deluge came. The heavens were broken up. Tremendous amount of water fell. The earth was broken up. And I could believe, I could see, as Noah's inside the ark, "Noah, let us in! Let us in! We're going to drown!" Too late. God shut the door, and I cannot open it. There's coming a day. It'll be the last chance. Last opportunity. Are you ready? Don't be left behind. Don't be left behind.